In the year of 39, assembled here the volunteers, in the days when lands were few. Here the ship sailed out into the blue and sunny morn, the sweetest sight ever seen. And the night followed day, and the storytellers say that the score brave souls inside. For many a lonely day sailed across the milky sea, never looked back, never feared, never cried. Don't you hear my call, though you're many years away? Don't you hear me calling you? Write your letters in the sand for the day I take your hand in the land that our grandchildren knew. In the year of 39 came a ship in from the blue. The volunteers came home that day, and they bring good news of a world so newly born, though their hearts so heavily weigh. For the earth is old and gray, little darling will away, but my love, this cannot be. For so many years have gone, though I'm older but a year, your mother's eyes from your eyes cry to me. Don't you hear my call, though you're many years away? Don't you hear me calling you? Write your letters in the sand for the day I take your hand in the land that our grandchildren knew. Don't you hear my call, though you're many years away? Don't you hear me calling you? All your letters in the sand cannot heal me like your hand, for my life still ahead. Pity me. Welcome, everybody. I am Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream radio show. And that song, originally by Queen, was it's talking about a ship that goes off, a spaceship that goes off, and by the time they get home, 1 year has passed for them, but generations have passed here on Earth. Kind of a nice song. The New American Dream Radio Show is right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We're here every week, Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. And it's a listener-supported network, so we urge you to head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and show them your support. I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachuk, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Larry Pinkney, Anthony Rayson, M.K. Davis, Frank Cordero, and Philip Ferruggio. So this Thursday evening, we're gathering for the New American Dream radio show in Fort Lauderdale in northern Minnesota, in Port Orange, Florida, in Des Moines, Iowa, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in Chicago, Illinois, in Benton, Mississippi, and wherever you are. I recommended the newest issue of Penn Magazine, now available, the Poor People's Campaign issue. We ought to come in mule carts and old trucks, any kind of transportation people can get their hands on. People ought to come to Washington, sit down if necessary in the middle of the street and say, "We are here, we are poor, we don't have any money, you have made us this way, and we've come to stay until you do something about it." A nation that spends year after year more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual doom. Martin Luther King Jr., 1968. The newest edition of Penn Magazine, PENNmagazine.us. And I'd like to dedicate this show to my wife, Ruth, on her 29th birthday. Happy birthday, Ruth, wherever you are. Our first guest to the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Catholic Worker. He's a former Catholic priest. He has been a Catholic worker since forever. He spent over 6 years in jails and federal prisons protesting against the spending of money on weapons rather than on the poor. And we're going to listen to the conversation right now between Frank Cordero and Chuck Gregory.
Yo, Chuck.
Well, hi, Frank.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Well, I'm right now sitting outside the Catholic Worker on one of the benches in the back in a partially shaded place. It's a pretty lazy day. Folks are cooking in the kitchen, and it's so hot, I'm just had to get out of here. I am on duty, but I'm within earshot of any problems. It's just another day here at the Catholic Worker. Things are happening, though, always are. One thing that we're looking forward to is we're taking about 8 people to Rochester, New York, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend for the National Catholic Worker Gathering, 85 years celebrating the Catholic Worker movement. And we're involved in 2 of the workshops. One of them is the Des Moines community is going to get to speak about the pipeline actions that have been taking place here in Iowa, primarily just talk about Liz and Ruby and the challenges they gave everybody as they went through our lives. And then the other workshop is one having to do with drone campaigns. We'll be on a panel with other communities that are working with drone campaigns and share our experience. So I'm looking forward to all that. That's just it's always a shot in the arm to get together on a national level with a larger clan, see old friends and enemies, make new friends and enemies, and find out whose kids were what all. I mean, it's just amazing, just an amazing intergenerational movement right now. I've been in it for 40 plus years. So it's really not my family of origin, but my family of choice. And I'm more Catholic Worker than anything else. So I'm looking forward just to seeing people I haven't seen for years. Just sort of like, you know, your large plenary family reunion every 5 years or something. That's what it's like for me. And I'm kind of excited about that. Plus I our work here has so much promise. The continued work on the drones, to continue. So I just don't. It's very hard to understand why we can't get any buzz on this, but we're going to keep doing it. And the good news is, I may be able to the day after I get arrested on the 9th here in Des Moines at the drone center, I can make my way to Ireland with the help of Kieran O'Reilly, an international Catholic Worker of great fame. Kieran O'Reilly, the only guy I know to do 3 plowshares actions on 3 separate continents. He's going to be organizing talks and stuff when the Pope Francis visits Ireland, and he's asking me to come and spend 2 weeks with him and spread the message about what the church needs to do. And I get to speak of what's going on in the American church in the heartland, where Christian fascism rules the day. So that could pose a lot of great venues for me, for a guy who rarely gets to speak anywhere other than weekly with you, Chuck. I'm really excited about that news. These are some of the things I'm working on just since the last time I talked to you.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a lot going on, Frank, and I look forward to hearing all about both of those.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the communal life is just a bitch, plain and simple. And we are gradually going through some difficult times. And, you know, I don't need to say any more than that. Sort of like family shit, it really is. Yep. But it ain't more than family shit. It's like, you know, everybody goes through this stuff.
Yeah. You alluded to it last time. And I just, you know, it must be very hard to live in that kind of a community. And wow, 45 years. That is, that's really
that's quite a testament. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been here the whole 45 years. You know, I was like 15 years away as a priest, and then I came back. That's the big news, too. How many communities can survive the leaving of their founder and then survive coming in back? Almost killed them, I think. At least it feels like it. Because we almost die every 5 years, I'd say, on average. But that's a, it's just the nature of intentional transitional communities in this culture. It's a brutal way to discover that we are so inadequate and being just basic, decent human beings to each other. The people who come to us are formed primarily from their family of origins and this culture. And that, that's just the general development, human development, of Americans is a low bar. We just don't do well at all with each other.
Yeah.
And everybody should know that. And we need to work on it. And these communities at least are exposing just how far around the eight ball we are and also what we can still do. If you can still serve a bowl of soup and not kill the people you're helping or the people who are helping you do it, then you're ahead of the game. You're ahead of the game.
Yeah,
that's my position. I'm sticking to it. Yeah.
Well, all right.
All right, Chuck. God bless you. Next week, okay?
Yes. God bless you, Frank, and all you do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The mind of an American rules the world. The president, Warren Buffett, Tiger Woods, Katie Couric, John Stewart, the Michelin Man? No, stupid, it's you. You are king of the world. God, Superman, King Midas, all that. It's you. You are more than just a legend in your own mind. You are the man. And when the CIA, through the CIA propaganda machine called Radio Free Europe or the American Free Press, tells you the Russians are coming or the criminals are coming or terrorists, or the Iranians, or Iraqis, or Afghans on nuclear-powered blue donkeys, or big bees, and you believe it? Well then, Zeke, that's how the world will go. You are powerful. The most powerful Yahoo who has ever lived in the history of living. And you are an idiot, and the world is going to burn. You're not an idiot on purpose, but an idiot nonetheless. The CIA, the persons in the CIA are smart, but they are evil, the actual evil empire. And they control you, the most powerful person in the world. If you were not an idiot, they could not do that, but you are an idiot. And that's a bummer, man. That's a bummer. The moon, we went there and never went back. Makes sense. The same thing happened with the big discovery of the car and the airplane in Hawaii and Las Vegas. And no problem in getting back from the surface of the moon to that main spaceship thing. And the technology, you mean we could do that in the 60s when computers were as big as rooms and there was no such thing as personal computers, the internet, and we never went back? And hey, wait, let go of me. Hey, where's your warrant? There's a beverage here, man. I have my rights. I'm going to the library. I'm doing a paper. Freaking home monitors. They think they own the stupid school. In that press conference, wow, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, they should have been like, man, we are so excited to just get back from the moon. We had never tested that moon landing thing and then the takeoff from the moon and then the hookup with the orbiter thing, because how could you practice that? And it all worked like a charm. I'm going to live, and I've been like to the moon, man. But they were like, we are so depressed and so shy. And did we see stars or not? Yes, no, yes, I don't know. It's like almost like they were hiding something. Hey, let go of me. I left my pass in my other pants. I told you, man. Goddamn fascists. This PSA message is brought to you by the DEA, the prison construction industry, and your local and federal politicians since who knows when. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks, Buddha. Thanks, Allah. Thanks, Alan the Alien, for the drug wars. How long has it been since Bush Sr. in the mid-80s, since Reagan, and followed up faithfully by Clinton and more Bush and Obama and Trump and really all your neighbors and church council members as well, huh? Locking human beings into cages for 10, 20, and 30 years, making their children cry their way into adulthood alone. That's us. We are everyone who ever worked to bring you the drug war. Hey, can we talk now? It wasn't about criminals. No, really, I'm not shitting. Dude, look at the bankers and all those who got us into war by lies, so this would make money on killing. And look at the billions of dollars alcohol industry. All that stuff is not illegal, but marijuana is a natural growing plant. And we've made it illegal. Pretty cool, huh? Awesome, dude. So here's to you. Thank you for watching television and playing miniature golf and protecting the world from white-tailed deer for all you do. This bud's for you. And this message brought to you by your local county jail. Give us your tired, huddled masses yearning to be free, and we'll lock them up. Put them in a small, dirty, old, crowded, out-of-the-way county jail. Tens of thousands of them throughout the United States, more than McDonald's, and we do it our way. If you've got poor people or some who came from somewhere else, if they are stupid enough to think the Statue of Liberty is holding up a torch and not a middle finger, send them to us. We'll teach them about America. We'll stick it to them our way. We're your local county jail. We are not the Holiday Inn. We are not Mother Teresa. We are not a country club. This is jail, and we get paid to work here. And then we can buy beer at the good old Homeland Tavern on our way home with our money and try to forget. God bless America and your local county jail. And now we join, in progress, another episode of The Americans. Tonight's show is sponsored in part by a grant from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, also by FindWarCriminals.com. If your name is Bush or Clinton or Obama or Blair or Trump and want to meet up with other war criminals, you can find them at FindWarCriminals.com. More than just online dating, pre-screen for compatibility, FindWarCriminals.com. And also by a grant from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, a brand new Washington, D.C. think tank staffed by American fourth grade students who have questions about the things they were told about America in the third grade. Let's get this straight. We went to the moon 100 years ago, but we never went back. We are also sponsored tonight by the Committee to Waterboard Anderson Cooper. It's not really that bad anyway. By Mr. Bubble. Get you so clean, your mother won't know you. And this just in, Mr. Bubble will now also be leading the Committee to Waterboard Chris Hedges, Don Stewart, Amy Goodman, Rachel Maddow, Matthew Rothschild, Stephen Colbert, Ruth Conniff, Eric Alterman, Bill Moyers, Arianna Huffington, Bill Maher, Gary Trudeau, Michael Moore, Al Franken, Marcos Zuniga, Noam Chomsky, and Garrison Keillor. Mr. Bubble wants to know why the liberal so-called radical writers do not ever mention the obvious scams of 9/11, Boston, and Sandy Hook, and while they think they are radical writers and fighting the good fight, they are either bought and paid for, or they are consciously skirting around the edges of the real issues like frightened water bugs around a swamp. And maybe they should just give up and get construction jobs. Mr. Bubble sees that, and Mr. Bubble is confused. Mr. Bubble wants answers. Mr. Bubble wants the truth. The Americans is also sponsored this week by Gravitas Cologne. If you are what you are, then you ain't what you ain't. Get some Gravitas Cologne today and at least smell like you mean business. Also sponsored by the National Intelligence Agency, Combating Stupidity. Also by Go Your Own Way, Compasses for Republicans, as well as I Think We're Alone Now, Personal Computers for Americans. The Americans is also brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston Bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, and so much more. And now, the Americans. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before, but after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with a message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been, since 9/11, accomplished after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. We rejoin our reality show, already in progress.
In the parallelogram office, we find President Cosmo Nutt at his big desk, drawing on his big yellow legal pad, working on some last-minute dollar signs, boobs, and tanks. He goes out to the balcony to address the weekly throng that gathers in the lineup from to the White House tour. He holds up his doodles of dollar signs, boobs, and tanks. And the crowd goes wild. Yay! Yay! He holds up the yellow legal pad with the dollar signs, boobs, and tanks again. And again the people cheer. Then he writes something else on the yellow legal pad and big red magic marker. He holds up the yellow legal pad to show the people, and they begin booing him. No! 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 Impeach him! Get him out of here! President Cosmo Nutt then brings his yellow legal pad down, turns, and goes back into the parallelogram office. He sets the yellow legal pad down on his desk, goes into a side office to take a nap. The child left behind has been watching everything from behind a big heavy curtain. When nobody was watching, she sneaked over to the big desk and looked at what was on the yellow legal pad that had made everyone boo and throw things. Peace on Earth was all it said.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you or me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, said he. I never died, said he. In Salt Lake Joe, says I to him, him standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I ain't dead. Says Joe, but I ain't dead. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, says he, you'll find Joe Hill. Says he, you'll find Joe Hill. And standing there as big as life, smiling with his eyes, Joe says what they forgot to kill. Went on to organize, went on to organize. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you or me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. Thank you.
Christian Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now for another episode of Professor Rutherford P. Roswell's Conspiracy Corner. We find Professor Rutherford P. Roswell sitting at home, getting ready to begin his weekly podcast from his basement, imitation cedar panel man cave. He has his computer and his headset and professional-looking microphone with the fireplace glowing in front of him and his English setter, Apollo, lying on the carpeted floor, feet straight in the air, sound asleep. Professor Roswell checks the time on the computer, sips his drowsy time tea, swivels in his chair and draws the Crown Royal single malt from the glass case, turns back, sprinkles a dash into the tea and sets the bottle on the floor near his feet. All around on the walls hang dusty photos of Roswell and the important people he has interviewed over the decades. He receives an email notification from the network telling him the show will start soon. He smiles as he types salutations to the many listeners now showing up in the chat room from around the world. Skagway, hello, Roslyn, hi there all. Sleepmute, Sicily, Mayberry, Virginia City, hello. College Station, Beverly Hills, Barstow, Columbia Heights, Foggy Bottom, Rocky Top, Bear Creek, Sandy Holler, Alsace, Genoa, Venice, Vicksburg. Hello, hello, welcome, hello. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now, with your host, Professor Rutherford P. Roswell, it's time again for Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea, because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Just hold some hot tea in your tired hands close to your chest and slowly fall asleep. Sleep, sleep. Maybe put the hot cup on the desk. Sleep, sleep. Drowsy Time Tea. Forget about it. And sleep.
You. Stop whatever it is you're doing, because it really doesn't matter. As long as the persistent lie about the JFK, RFK, and MLK murders persist in this country, nothing you do, working out, going to work, eating, sleeping, talking, none of it matters. It really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. None of it matters. You do not matter. Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to all. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get right to it, shall we? Russian interference in America's political process occurred in 2016 earlier, or is being cooked up for the nation's November midterm elections. Trump knows it, said so in Helsinki. When asked if he holds Russia accountable for anything, he said, I hold both countries responsible for dismal bilateral relations. I think the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. I think we're all to blame. Regarding election meddling, he said, there was no collusion at all. Everybody knows it. People are being brought out to the fore. So far that I know, virtually none of it related to the campaign, and they're going to have to try really hard to find somebody that did relate to the campaign. My people came to me and some others. They think it's Russia. President Putin said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be. President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. Trump's wrong about most things. Not this. No evidence, nothing proves Russian meddling in the U.S. political process. If it existed, it would have been revealed long ago. It never was, never will be, because there's nothing credible to reveal. Big lies alone. Trump's above remarks were in Helsinki, in response to a raging Russophobic firestorm of criticism back home. He backtracked from his above comment, saying he misspoke in Helsinki, accepts the intelligence community's claim about Russian-U.S. election meddling, knowing it didn't occur. Russiagate was cooked up by Obama's thuggish, Russophobic CIA director, John Brennan. Media scoundrels keeping the big lie alive. Former UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, Craig Murray, earlier explained that the source of these emails and leaks has nothing to do with Russia at all. Adding, I discovered what the source was when I attended the Sam Adams Whistleblower Award in Washington. The source of these emails came from within official circles in Washington, D.C. You should look to Washington, not to Moscow. The big lie alone matters when it's the official narrative. The Russian meddling hoax, the mythical Kremlin threat to U.S. security, are central to maintaining adversarial relations with America's key invented enemy. Its fake enemy is vital to unjustifiably justifying the nation's global empire of bases. Its outrageous amount of military spending, its belligerence toward all sovereign independent states, its endless wars of aggression, its scorn for world peace and stability, its neoliberal harshness to pay for it all, along with transferring the nation's wealth from ordinary people to its privileged class. America's deeply corrupted political process is far too debauched to fix, rigged to serve wealth, power, and privilege exclusively. At war on humanity at home and abroad, it's a tyrannical plutocracy and oligarchy, a police state, not a democracy, a cesspool of criminality, inequity, and injustice, run by sinister dark forces, moneyed interests, bipartisan, self-serving political scoundrels, wicked beyond redemption, threatening humanity's survival. Today is the most perilous time in world history. What's going on should terrify everyone, everywhere. Washington's rage for global dominance, its military madness, its unparalleled recklessness, threatens world peace, stability, and survival.
Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea. Because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Forget about it and just sleep.
Our next guest of evening is Philip Ferrugio from Port Orange, Florida. Philip publishes his columns on many very good websites, Op-Ed News, World News Trust, Nation of Change, many, many others. And we're lucky to have him do this weekly column. It's the Empire, stupid!
Okay, good evening, working stiffs. No sympathy for the devils. You know, it's a play on words from the Rolling Stones' most pertinent commentary song, in my opinion, Sympathy for the Devil, circa 1968. The song was on their Beggar's Banquet album, which ironically was released right after the murders of Martin King and Robert Kennedy. One stanza of the song rings so true to those of us who believe there is a deep state which runs our traditional government. I shouted out, "Who killed the Kennedys when after all it was you and me?" Now, we know that Jagger and Richards, the songwriters, wrote the song from the perspective of the devil, who was the narrator. So when they include "it was you and me," they're intimating that there is more than one devil out there. So it is. There have always been cabals in perhaps every elected government throughout time in memoriam. These are simply evil and greedy human beings who are obsessed with power and control over the rest of the citizenry, plain and simple. The dictionary defines evil as, quote, morally wrong or wicked, unquote. Well, we can sit and discuss what the extent of evil deeds is all about for hours, even days. The bottom line can be found in the biblical precept of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Thus, when those in positions of power disregard the needs and the will of their people or other people's, evil is prevalent. Millions, perhaps billions of spiritual seekers follow the story and precepts of Jesus of Nazareth. Well, did they remember this one about the rich man? This is from the New Testament. Someone came to Jesus with the question, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why do you ask me what is good?" Jesus replies. "There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. And Jesus replies, "You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." The man answered, "Well, I've obeyed all those commandments. What else must I do?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus turned to his disciples. "I tell you the truth. It is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." You know, the late Kenneth Wapnick, a clinical psychologist and foremost teacher of the Course in Miracles, wrote a wonderful book, Forgiveness in Jesus, in 1998. His book expounded on the theory that what we call the devil is in reality not a being or spirit, but the mechanism of our ego whenever we allow it to do or think evil. Wapnick expressed his feeling that we are all here in this third dimension and we are given free will by our Creator. We all have, according to his theory, the choice to live in the light of goodness and truth, or that of our lower carnal selves, which can be defined as evil. Regardless of one's beliefs in the spiritual or denial of anything of that sort, Wapnick's understanding of the power of the ego, or devil, as many call it, is real. Thus, the evil ones follow the path of their ego, or carnal self, and here's the kicker. There are always but a few of truly, as defined earlier, evil people compared to the overwhelming majority of the populace in any given area of the world. Yet, what about those of the remaining, perhaps silent majority, who know that evil or wicked deeds are being done and do not really care? You've heard it before. If it doesn't affect me or my family or my business, I really am not concerned. Just like the wealthy out there who have great health and dental coverage, how many of them drop some sweat thinking about their fellow citizens' health care? The "we are at war" analogy is even better. As long as our 20-something young Americans do not have to serve in the military, many lose that sense of caring about what in the hell is going on overseas. As many of you should know, during the so-called Vietnam War era, especially as the mood of our populace turned against our involvement, 20-something and even 30-something young men were very keen to keep abreast of things, especially if they had a low draft number. As far as our new era of perpetual war, this writer has friends who invest in the stock market. Many were and are quite satisfied with our wars on Iraq and Afghanistan because they had stocks that went up because of that. They will shed crocodile tears for the dead U.S. soldiers and none at all for the 10 times more dead Arabs. Is that evil? Well, maybe a little bit, you might say, right? The old adage, and I'm lying, I just made it up, of if you believe there is a devil, then you must believe there is a God also. Thank you.
Our next guest to the show is Anthony Rayson. Anthony Rayson joins us each month from Chicago. Anthony's a former toll booth operator on the Chicago freeways. He's retired now, and he works with publishing zines. He publishes zines and publishes the writings of prisoners. He communicates with prisoners in American prisons, and he gets their writings and he publishes it, and he puts that out there. And we're going to try and contact Anthony Rayson right now in Chicago.
Hello.
Well, hello, Anthony. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Okay, well, I was going to go in the letters. I had some brilliant letters I was going to read, but just 2 days ago, I got this incredible analysis of what has gone down and what is coming down by probably the most brilliant prisoner in modern day America today, Kevin Rashid Johnson, who I've worked with for a long time. He's a brilliant thinker and activist, and in my opinion, the best political artist in the world. Anyway, his latest article just came out July 16th, called "The New Prison Movement: The Continuing Struggle to Abolish Slavery in America." The rising new prison movement. Across America, home of the world's largest prison population, growing numbers of the imprisoned are coming to realize that they are victims of social injustice. Foremost, as victims of an inherently predatory and dysfunctional capitalist imperialist system, which targets the poor and people of color for intensified policing, militaristic containment, and selective criminal prosecutions. While denying them access to the basic resources, employment, and institutional control needed for social and economic security. Deprivations which generate crime, economic crimes, crimes of passion, and crimes of attempting to cope through drug use and addictions. Secondly, once in prison, they become victims of inhumane abuses, warehousing, and one of the most decadent and dehumanizing forms of social economic injustice, slavery. This rising awareness among the imprisoned has prompted increasing numbers of prisoners to unite in resistance, proclaiming no more, and the momentum is building. This new prison movement is seeing growing waves of open resistance to slave labor and conditions of abuse, which is eroding the structures put in place beginning nearly 50 years ago to repress the prison movement of that era, such as solitary confinement. From yesterday's suppressed prison movement, during the earlier wave of the prison movement of the 60s and 70s, when the courts barred their doors against prisoners' lawsuits seeking redress against the inhumane conditions that pervade U.S. prisons, the prisoners rose up in resistance. In a dialectical relationship, their movement both informed and was informed by revolutionary ideas then prevalent in the broader social movements of the time, which exposed and challenged the capitalist system. At the forefront of the movement was the original Black Panther Party and allied groups on the outside and comrades like George Jackson, who formed the Black Panther Party's first prison chapter on the inside. To suppress that movement and stamp out its revolutionary consciousness, the establishment began constructing and operating solitary confinement prisons and units called supermaxes and control units at an unprecedented level. Beginning with the Marion Control Unit, which is in Illinois, which opened in 1972, after the assassination of George Jackson by guards and the peaceful 1971 uprising at Attica State Prison that officials suppressed by murdering 29 prisoners and 10 civilians, guards, then tortured hundreds more, sparking international outrage and exposure to the inhumane conditions in U.S. prisons. In a rare admission of the actual political purpose of subsequent high security units, Ralph Ahrens, a former warden at Marion, testified in federal court. The purpose of the Marion Control Unit is to control revolutionary attitudes in prison and society at large. Alongside this repression also came concessions to the prison movement, including prison officials granting prisoners more privileges and the federal courts opening their doors to prisoner litigations challenging their living conditions. But this did not last. As the U.S. prison system expanded eightfold and solitary confinement units contained prisoner resistance, the concessions were rolled back and the courts soon made rulings like Turner v. Safley. And laws like the Prison Litigation Reform Act were enacted that in effect reinstated the court's old hands-off doctrine towards prisoner lawsuits. Oppression breeds renewed resistance. With these reversals, abuse conditions intensified, especially with the vastly expanded use of solitary confinement, a condition which the U.S. Supreme Court found to be cruel and unusual and constituted torture back in the late 1800s, and the attendant enlargement of prison labor pools to be exploited as free workers. Under these conditions of heightened abuse and exploitation, a new prison movement has emerged and is only growing. At each stage of this new movement, record numbers of prisoners have joined and forged unity across racial and tribal lines that the system has traditionally been able to keep prisoners divided and controlled by. Even more monumental is unity in these struggles has been achieved not just within individual prisons, but across entire prison systems and now across the country, with public support spanning the country and reaching international levels. This has and can only inspire greater levels of resistance and help us refine our forms of resistance and methods of organizing and communication. To these ends, I'd like to summarize the major events in today's growing waves of prison resistance and call on readers to join and support the struggles to come. And resist we have. When in 2008, a migrant, Jesus Manuel Galinda, was left to die in a solitary confinement cell from untreated epilepsy, hundreds of detainees at Reeves County Detention Complex in Pecos, Texas, took over the complex and put it to the torch. Over $2 million in damage was reported in an uprising that united detainees from Cuba, Nigeria, Venezuela, and Mexico. During December 2010, prisoners in six Georgia prisons went on a mass strike, protesting unpaid slave labor, solitary confinement, and other oppressive conditions. Latinos, blacks, whites, prison tribes of all orientations, Muslims, etc., united in this protest. Following the week-long strike, 2 years later at Jackson State Prison in Mississippi, where many of the 2010 strike leaders were transferred to, a 44-day hunger strike was staged as guards violently retaliated. In 2011 and 2013, three historical mass hunger strikes were undertaken by California prisoners protesting indefinite solitary confinement and other abuses where 6,000, 12,000, and 30,000 prisoners respectively participated. Prisoners in other states also joined the strike in Virginia, Oregon, Washington State, etc. This strike united and was led by blacks, Latinos, and whites and all the major California prison tribes, which led to a call by the prisoners to end all racial and group hostilities and which Cali prison officials have repeatedly tried to sabotage. This strike and unprecedented unity alongside legal challenges by some strike leaders and participants forced the Cali prison system to reform its long-term solitary confinement policies and release some 2,000 prisoners to general population in 2015. Inspired by the 2010 Georgia prison strike, in 2013, prisoner leaders of the Free Alabama Movement, FAM, called a strike in protest of Alabama's running a slave empire and incarcerating people for free labor. In January 2014, prisoners at four Alabama prisons took up the strike. As a result of FAM's organizing efforts and collaborating with the Industrial Workers of the World, IWW, a committee within the IWW was formed. Well, this is not quite correct. I know how the inside of how that came down, but anyway, was formed and called the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, IWOC, which now has over 800 imprisoned members in 46 states. The IWAC has since played an important support role in subsequent strikes in building public support. Shortly after the IWAC's founding, the IWAC and New African Black Panther Party prison chapter united as allies in this work, and I, as a co-founder of the NABPP and numerous other NABPP members, joined IWAC. In 2014, all 1,200 detainees at the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington, went on a 56-day hunger strike, which spread to the Joe Corley Detention Center in Conroe, Texas, all protesting oppressive conditions at the facilities. Outside protesters organized in support of the strikers. In April 2016, prisoners in seven Texas prisons went on a work strike at the call of leading comrades of the NABPP Texas branch and IWAC. The month before, a spontaneous uprising took place in Alabama at Holman Prison, where the new warden, Carter Davenport, known for his role in physical assaults on prisoners, ended up on the receiving end of violence. These initiatives in early 2016 inspired a call to prisoners across the U.S. to engage in a countrywide strike beginning on September 9, 2016, a date chosen to commemorate the 1971 Attica uprising. September 9th proved historical, as over 30,000 prisoners and up to 46 facilities in 24 states took up various forms of protest, from refusing to work to hunger strikes to prison takeovers to disrupting operations. Outside protests took place in various cities across the U.S. in support of the prisoners. In response to the rising voices of prisoners resisting slave labor and abusive treatment, on August 19, 2017, a march in Washington was undertaken in support of prisoners and against the 13th Amendment, which, enacted at the end of the Civil War in 1965, legalized enslavement of the criminally convicted in violation of international law written and ratified by the U.S. after World War II, which forbids all forms of slavery and involuntary servitude. Shaken by the protests of September 2016, in an unprecedented move, states like Florida locked down their entire prison system, hoping to head off any possible uprising attending the August 19, 2017 Washington March. Florida went even further to serve its prisoners special gourmet meals during the entire four-day lockdown from August 18th to 21. Despite this move, Florida prisoners made an end run around officials and still undertook a strike, codename Operation Push, beginning February 12th, Lincoln's birthday, 2018, on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Martin Luther King's birthday was in January. Push involved prisoners across the state refusing to turn out for work and boycotting the prison commissary. They were protesting unpaid slave labor, price gouging in the system's commissary and packaging services, the gain time scam that replaced parole, and compounded by extreme overcrowding caused by extreme sentencing causing inhumane conditions. As Florida prison officials scrambled to replace men who refused to work with more compliant ones and transferred and carted off strike participants to solitary confinement, they falsely reported to the media that no strike and no retribution against participants occurred, an outright lie. All right. There you have half of it.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
All right, take care.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Steyer will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest to the show is Larry Pinkney. Larry Pinkney joins us each month from Minneapolis. Larry is a former member of the Black Panther Party back in the 1960s. He is a activist, a radio show host, an author. He recently wrote the foreword to a recent book by Cindy Sheehan. And we're going to attempt to contact Larry Pinkney right now in Minneapolis.
Good evening, Larry Pinkney speaking.
Well, hello, Larry. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Greetings to you, Brother Chuck and Brother Mike, and thank you very much. This evening, I'd like to, well, today is what, July the 19th, 2018, Thursday. I would like to first of all, address the fact that I think that this nation, many elements, many people, unfortunately, in this nation, are actually falling into the abyss of insanity. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the, the press conference / meeting that President Trump had with the president, the head of state of the Russian Federation. It is amazing to me, in my over 60 years of life, I have never seen anything like this. I have to say that this is absolute insanity. Whether a person likes Trump or not is absolutely irrelevant. But I tell you what, we must do everything we can to avoid nuclear or thermonuclear war, which would obliterate and incinerate all of us. It would destroy the planet. It would destroy humanity as we know it. And irrespective of what those or we or whomever might think of President Trump, we had better put humanity first. And humanity demands that there be some kind of discourse between the two major superpowers, and by superpowers, between the United States and the Russian Federation alone. They have enough capability in terms of weapons to knock this planet off of its axis. And what does that mean? Can you even imagine what that means? I mean, think about the half-life of an atom, the half-life. I have never, in all my over 60 years of life, seen such insanity. The quote-unquote Democrats have lost their minds. And we need to understand that what should come first in our lives is just that, our lives. And be we black, white, brown, red, or yellow, we need to really climb back up from the abyss that certain elements have put us in. And by the way, it's not just the Democrats. It's also rhino Republicans like Songbird, John McCain, and others of his ilk. So it's not just the Democrats, but it's the Democrats and a certain amount of Republicans as well, who have apparently lost their minds to the deep state. And what do I mean by the deep state / shadow government? I mean those who are trying to control, from a global point of view, our lives. Those who want to keep us on a plantation. That's right, a plantation. And so I'm glad I have this opportunity this evening to, in a few minutes, a few words, I should say, over a few minutes, address this. Come on, people. We need to be independent, capital I, critical thinkers. Independent, critical thinkers. So I am urging everyone to take a deep breath, step back, and look at what we need to be addressing. Number one, the very existence of humanity is at stake. I don't know how many folks actually pay attention to what weapons the two superpowers have. And that's not even including other nuclear powers, smaller nuclear powers, you know, whether we're talking about China, India, Pakistan, Israel, etc. I'm talking about the two major superpowers. We have got to come to our senses. It is not treason to have discourse with another superpower that is quite capable of incinerating us, and we, meaning the United States, is quite capable of incinerating them. This has got to stop. This madness on the part of the so-called mainstream, vomit stream media has got to be rejected. Turn off your TV sets. Go to alternative media. Read, study. Stop this insanity. So with that, Brother Chuck, I'm going to take a pause for the calls and take any question that you may have, if you have any. Are you there, Chuck?
Sorry, I turned my mic up. You are so right about this being insanity, though. I have been thinking very much along the same lines that what's going on with Trump and Putin talking. This is a good thing, an amazing thing.
Yes.
For two world leaders who have the potential to create a horrible war, to instead be talking about how they can maintain peace. And I don't
exactly
know why everyone is going nuts and calling it a conspiracy and treason. It is truly insane, in my opinion.
It is insane. It's lunacy. And, of course, it's being fueled by the so-called news media, which is not a news media at all. It's nothing but a propaganda vomit stream media. And, you know, at stake, and I keep saying this repeatedly, brother, it's at stake is the very existence of humanity as we know it, the planet as we know it. And that's why I'm urging people to follow their own common sense. The Democrats have lost their common sense. You know, there was a time many years ago that I thought the Democrats, quote unquote, had common sense. Clearly, they have, if they did have common sense, they have totally lost it. And we need to understand that they don't care about us. And what it's all about for them is power. Power, even if it means wiping out humanity. The media, the same thing. You know, ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, and CNN. The Clinton News Network. Oh, CNN. Yes. The Clinton News Network. But go ahead, brother.
Well, I really can't say that the Republicans are any better. Trump is certainly not your typical Republican.
He is not. And, that's right.
And Pence, Lord help us if he ever gets in power.
Well, the thing is, and this is what I find so fascinating. People said to me, the Democrats and the Republicans, hate Trump. And I said, think about what you just said. Think about what you just said. The Democrats and Republicans hate Trump. Not all Republicans by any means. But what is that telling us? You know, I view President Trump, Mr. Trump, as a wrecking ball. I think he does things that, quite frankly, upset the deep state, the shadow government. You know, you have people like Steve Cohen, Tennessee, Democrat, calling for a military coup. This is insane.
Indeed.
And the media, you know, this is absolutely insane. So, you know, I think I'm urging all of the wonderful listeners to this program to take stock. Do not be tongue-tied. Do not be bullied. Do not allow yourselves to be beaten down and dumbed down, because that's why we're in the state we're in now. These so-called news networks are simply propaganda networks, and they don't care if we all get incinerated. They don't care. And, you know, it's all about for them power, even at the risk or the expense of the destruction of humanity. We need to regain our sanity. We need to regain our sanity. Trump wasn't the only president to have met with the head of the Russian Federation or any other country. Trump was by no means, he didn't set any kind of precedent, but what he did do was said, okay, let's have some discourse. And it is insane for people on any side of the so-called aisle, Republican or Democrat, as I said, I'm an independent, but on any side of the aisle, to say, oh, that's treasonous. What's treasonous, they are the ones who are treasonous. they are the ones who are selling out the very existence of humanity. So I feel very strongly about this. I can't say it any stronger than I've already said it. And we need to wake up. We need to wake up. So, you know, these lunatics out here, they need to be dismissed, not only dismissed, but discarded to the dustbin of history. That is to say, if we will have a history, and instead of a nuclear holocaust, I don't even say nuclear war anymore, because it won't be a war. It'll be the extinction of us all. You know, there'll be no winning side. We'll all be losers. And I'm saying it doesn't have to be that way. That's where I'm coming from, my brother. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, thank you, Larry. Very insightful commentary, and I really agree. And we've got to cut it short. But thank you.
Okay, love you.
Hey, thanks for being on.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, take care. Love you, brother. Take care. Bye-bye.
And now for another episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle. Buddy is patrolling the War on Terror Memorial Highway in South Central Alabama. He's sitting in a grove of trees next to a rotting deer carcass. Can't see a thing, but he can hear the highway is packed from all the noise. He cranks the Bolshoi Ballet in his earbuds as he snacks on the boiled potatoes he brought for break time, and also sneaks a peek at the crayfish buckwheat blintzes he packed for his lunch. He's got his personal phone pressed to his ear, waiting for a call to St. Petersburg to go through, and the scanner is running, waiting for a message from the Kremlin.
Buddy is all tanned, bushy-tailed, and bright-eyed, just back from his vacation, but nevertheless, it is nap time. He finds his best spot for catching speeders right on the highway, facing traffic. Puts up his new sunblocker, not the kind from the 70s that said, help call 911, but a new one. This new one says, peace on earth. Buddy is a Russian spy. Stay tuned for next week's episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle. Sponsored by Lemon Fresh Borax, also sponsors of On Babushka Kalashnikov's Corner of the View from my Piroshki cart. When your dogs tell you the Russians pooped in the hallway while you were at work, and the Democrats tell you, no, we didn't rig the elections against Bernie Sanders. We did not commit treason, dozens of felonies. We didn't conspire against the American people. Oh, look, look over there, Russians. We're there for you, protecting the homeland. Lemon Fresh Borax in the fading yellow box.
Our next guest to the show is M.K. Davis. M.K. Davis joins us each month from Benton, Mississippi. M.K. Davis is an expert on the Bigfoot phenomenon. He also takes time once in a while to delve into the area of politics. We're going to try to contact M.K. Davis right now in Benton, Mississippi.
Hello.
Well, hello, M.K. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Well, that's great. I've been on vacation. I came up here to the great state of Tennessee, to the great city of Pigeon Forge, and decided to take some time off from Bigfoot and other things. But, you know, it's like so many other things. It just wasn't to be, because this place is up here by one of the great national parks where the Alps, just outstanding territory for anything like a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch to live in. And there's much to be said in the reports that you get from there. But I was going to eat at, I believe it was Reagan's Pancake House here in Pigeon Forge. And I got out of my car and went to walk across the sidewalk, and there were two big barefooted prints right there in the cement. And of course, not likely to be Sasquatch, but someone tried to make it look as if a Sasquatch had stood there. Unless, of course, you know, some freaky way that a Sasquatch did walk out of the woods while it was the cement was setting up. But I thought about the possibility because there was a really bad fire here that destroyed much of this whole entire area, this business district. And a lot of it was rebuilt. And when it was setting up, you know, the woods are just right there. But no way to ever prove anything like that. But the gist of what I'm saying is that it's hard to get away from it. You're a hyper-aware person. If you've ever done any Bigfoot studies, and you tend to look at things, you know, or pay attention to things in ways that the average person doesn't. This seems to be, in the last couple of weeks or 3 weeks, I've had some outstandingly new things that I've learned about some old cases. Not just Bigfooting, but other things as well. And it's through the power of YouTube. You know, get on the old Roku device now and stream YouTube, and YouTube will continue to load up things one after another. You don't even have to do anything, that are of similar interest or similar genre. And I learned some things that I really never knew. And one of them was involving JFK. I learned it was an interview of Clint Hill, and that was the Secret Service guy that was running after the limo, and he was assigned to Mrs. Kennedy, Jacqueline Kennedy. And he said in his interview that JFK told him prior to a trip by Mrs. Kennedy to France that he wanted him to be sure that she did not cross paths with Aristotle Onassis. And so it turns out that that she had kind of a thing for Onassis, or vice versa, and she'd been introduced to him by her sister. And evidently, he didn't like it, and he wanted to make sure they didn't cross paths while she was going over there for another reason. And I didn't know that. You know, I'd never heard it. And also another case, cold case, this goes back to the early 60s, was a UFO incident in which I think it was the first one that was got my publicity, that it was an abduction case. And it was the case of Barney and Betty Hill. And they started to play, YouTube did, the Barney and Betty Hill story. And they had a 10-part in-depth interview with Betty Hill. And, you know, you think you've heard it all, but when she began to talk and he began to ask a few questions, you realize that you either got it wrong or you're hearing things you've never heard before. And Betty says that when she had her regression, you know, the hypnosis, for one thing, she corrected that. She says, I didn't have regular hypnosis. I had medical hypnosis. And she said medical was done to people to control pain if they couldn't take anesthesia. And it was developed for that reason, and it was different. And I didn't know that there were two different types of hypnosis. So she says that under there, where she was remembering everything, the gentleman asked her, you know, do you consider yourself an abductee? And she says, no. I consider myself a passenger. He says, I was never treated badly. She says, they never used telepathy. And I'd always thought that they got into her mind and spoke with her. But She says, no, they spoke to me. They spoke to me with an accent and broken in bad English. And then I learned that Barney, her husband, had gotten out of the car and was looking at a hovering spacecraft above the trees. And he sees these people in there, what he called people. They were aliens. But one of them had red hair and was smiling at him, looking down and smiling at him. And he took him to be an Irishman. But except that he had large eyes and brow ridges. And I'd never heard that before. Brow ridges is something that, you know, they jut over the eye. It's bone structure that juts over the eye. And a lot of people speculate about what that means. But typically, it's primitive, you know, type of people. They find skulls with brow ridges. But obviously, this was not the case here. And so Betty says that they never did anything sexual to her. That the only thing they did to her was to put a needle in her navel, and when she hollered, they took it out and did not try it again. So she considered them to be friendly, which I always heard that it was horrifying and that they were, you know, that these were had their way with them. But I had never heard it from her. And when I heard it from her, it seemed like an entirely different type of scenario, an entirely different type of experience. And, you know, like I said, you only have someone's word for it. But I think this particular case carries a little more weight because they were put into regression separately and told the same story. So those kinds of things come to you now, or come to us by virtue of YouTube. And I think that we're seeing a renaissance of knowledge. YouTube has become like the electronic library of Alexandria, where there's so much stuff on there that people are loading it in every day. The combined knowledge of man. So you learn that, if I had known this in the early days, maybe I wouldn't have come to this conclusion or that conclusion. You know, if I had heard the original story like it came from her, then maybe I wouldn't have rejected it or anything like that.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
0 9 0 5 1 7
We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now it's time for a message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Notes we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. From Boris in Kitchen Table, Kentucky, we hear, humanity has on numerous occasions narrowly missed nuclear Armageddon. Each time it was averted by military officers, both American and Soviet, who understood that the relations between the U.S. and the Soviet Union were not that strained. Today, this situation has been radically altered by the corrupt American media, Democratic Party, and military security complex who, acting in behalf of Hillary's political interest and the greed of the armaments industry, have demonized Russia and her president to the extent that malfunctioning warning systems or a temper tantrum of a crazed politician are likely to result in a fatal launch. One can understand the determination of the military security complex to protect at all costs its power and profit, and one can understand the identity politics-driven un-American Democratic Party's hatred of Trump deplorables, but the complicity of the media in the enormous lies that comprised Russiagate, and then the demonization of President Trump as a traitor because he seeks understanding between nuclear powers instead of dangerous and irresponsible tensions that could easily result in the destruction of life on Earth is inexplicable. The only conclusion is that the American print and TV media is devoid of all intelligence, all integrity, and all self-respect. The American print and TV media is a collection of excrement that should be flushed down the toilet.
And from Yevgeny in southern Vermont, in the United States, there's no respect whatsoever for facts among the prostitutes or even among Trump's own government. That Trump labors on in behalf of reaching a less dangerous state of affairs between the nuclear powers is a sign of intelligence and humanity that is missing elsewhere. If the American people did not support Trump's efforts to normalize U.S. relations with Russia, the American people are digging their own graves as well as the grave of humanity. And now a note from Natasha in Frostbite Falls, Minnesota. The Cold War is a thing of the past. By the time President Putin said as much during preliminary remarks in his joint press conference with President Trump in Helsinki, it was clear this would not stand, not after so much investment by American conservatives in Cold War 2.0. Russophobia is a 24/7 industry, and all concerned, including its media vassals, remain absolutely livid with a disgraceful Trump-Putin presser. Trump has colluded with Russia. How could the President of the United States promote moral equivalence with a world-class thug? Multiple opportunities for apoplectic outrage were in order. Trump, our relationship has never been worse than it is now. However, that changed as of about 4 hours ago. Putin, the United States could be more decisive in nudging Ukrainian leadership. Trump. There was no collusion. I beat Hillary Clinton easily. Putin, we should be guided by facts. Can you name a single fact that would definitively prove collusion? This is nonsense. Then the clincher. The Russian president calls special counsel Robert Mueller's bluff, offering to interrogate the Russians indicted for alleged election meddling in the U.S. if Mueller makes an official request to Moscow. But in exchange, Russia would expect the U.S. to question Americans on whether Moscow should face charges for illegal actions. Trump hits it out of the park when asked whether he believes U.S. intelligence, which concluded that Russia did meddle in the election, or Putin, who strongly denies it. President Putin says it's not Russia. I don't see any reason why it would be. As if this was not enough, Trump doubles down, invoking the Democratic National Committee server. I really do want to see the server. Where is the server? I want to know. Where is the server? What is the server saying? It was inevitable that a strategically crucial summit between the Russian and American presidencies would be hijacked by the dementia of the U.S. news cycle. Trump was unfazed. He knows that the DNC computer hard drives, the source of an alleged hacking, simply disappeared while in the custody of U.S. Intel, FBI included. He knows the bandwidth necessary for file transfer was much larger than a hack might have managed in the time allowed. It was a leak, a download into a flash drive. Additionally, Putin knows that Mueller knows he will never be able to drag 12 Russian intelligence agents into a U.S. courtroom. No wonder John Brennan, a former CIA director under the Obama administration, is fuming. Donald Trump's press conference performance in Helsinki rises to exceed the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. Not only were Trump's comments imbecilic, he's wholly in the pocket of Putin.
And finally, this message from Doug in Novosibirsk. The U.S. Democratic Party is determined to take the world to thermonuclear war rather than to admit that Hillary Clinton lost the presidential election fair and square. The Democratic Party was totally corrupted by the Clinton regime and now is totally insane. Leaders of the Democratic Party, such as Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, have responded in a non-democratic way to the first step President Trump has taken to reduce the extremely dangerous tensions with Russia that the Clinton, George W. Bush, and Obama regimes created between the two superpowers. Yes, Russia is a superpower. Russian weapons are so superior to the junk produced by the waste-filled U.S. military security complex that lives high off the hog on the insouciant American taxpayer that it is questionable if the U.S. is even a second-class military power. If the insane neoconservatives such as Max Boot, William Kristol, and the rest of the neocon scum get their way, the U.S., the U.K., and Europe will be a radioactive ruin for thousands of years. House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, Minority Leader of the U.S. House of Representatives, declared that out of fear of some undefined retribution from Putin, a dossier on Trump perhaps, the President of the United States sold out the American people to Russia because he wants to make peace. It begs the question, what does Vladimir Putin, what do the Russians have on Donald Trump, personally, politically, and financially, that he should behave in such a manner? To such a manner, Pelosi is speaking about is making peace instead of war. To be clear, the Democratic Minority Leader of the U.S. House of Representatives has accused Donald Trump of high treason against the United States. There is no outcry against his blatantly false accusation, totally devoid of evidence. Prostitute media, instead of protesting this attempt at a coup against the President of the United States, trumpet the accusation as self-evident truth. Trump is a traitor because he wants peace with Russia. Notice that not one Western media source is celebrating and thanking Trump and Putin for easing the artificially created tensions that were leading to nuclear war. How can this be? How can it be that the Western media is so opposed to peace? What is the explanation?
A message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Messages we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Someone was killing the Democrats of Orange County, Ohio. I wouldn't have cared, but that I was a Democrat. I did not much care to have my throat slit as I pulled into the garage or have my brakes fail and plow headlong into the concrete culvert out on the bypass around the curve by the new Taco John's, have my head split like a good watermelon, or have a 50-pound sack of sugar fall on my neck from the top shelf as I bent down to try to read the label on the All brand with my trifocals. The prime suspect was Jesus Ohio, the terrorist. Jesus lived here in Orange County somewhere on the back streets or soft dirt roads or in the cornfields. Who knows? Who cares? I might have seen him once in a blur in the very early morning out the front window of my auto parts store. Who cares? Well, maybe the Democrats. Maybe me. You can buy a list of all the registered Democrats from the Secretary of State in Columbus. I did that once. I used it to get signatures to get on the ballot. Suppose you could also use it for selling All brand or mass murder. To me, I wouldn't go to the trouble. Democrats are dying anyway. You don't have to get up even. Just sit on the porch and drink pina cicadas. That's my new invention. Watch him drop. Am I kidding? Ask my wife if I ever kid. Ask my kids if I ever kid. Orange County, Iowa, used to be gay county. It was that for maybe 100 years or so. I don't know. There's a Gayville, South Dakota. Probably 100 others around. Not a name you like to have these days on your county dump trucks, county sheriff vehicles, or on t-shirts in the parent section when your team goes to the state wrestling tournament in Columbus. So it didn't take that long after a group marched into the county commissioner's meeting on the second Tuesday morning in either February or March, suggested the name of the county be changed to reflect the post-9/11 world. There were 9 guys from Fire Department, National Guard, Hunt and Fish Club, all dressed in orange. Orange caps, vests, coveralls, gloves. They just filed in and sat down. They were on the agenda and all, but it was still, well, quite a show. Vernon spoke for the group. He said the county would be doing its part for homeland security by reflecting the orange alert set status of the nation in its generations-long fight against terror. Vern had clipboards with petitions and signatures and numbers and a calculator. He said they had it figured out that over the course of 10 years, which is just a drop in the bucket from what those who have given the ultimate sacrifice have given, the 12 municipal water towers in the county, the 2 rural water district towers, well, they could be painted blaze orange. First Reformed Church had offered to be a sponsor if they could get a mention somewhere in the towers. Vern and Citizens of Orange County Care also suggested that orange be declared the official color of the county, which could be reflected in numerous ways. Law enforcement vehicles, city and county maintenance vehicles, the state trucks all already orange, see? School colors, crosswalk guards, personalized license plates. He said that an idea being tossed around was to sell orange buttons as a fundraiser for an annual scholarship for an outstanding student in the county. Well, the commissioner sent a representative along with Byrne and 3 or 4 of the guys from Citizens of Orange County Care, or COC, down to Columbus. They stayed in the Motel 6 at a county expense, testified in front of the committee, got on Radio Ohio, and Vern was asked to come down to the KTVV studios and get patched through to the Fox network to talk about it all. There weren't many state senators who wanted to stand up in front of the whole state and nation and said he was for keeping the county gay, as opposed to being on the front line against terror. Vote went through on the last day of the session. The work began on the county stationery, doors to the auditors and license offices, vehicles, highway signs. It was a big job. And the first Reformed church got their water tower. First one was painted right here over the summer with a crew from out of town. Band had Tennessee plates, is what I heard. Lots of folks went over there every day for a while, standing right under the tower and looking up at a white skinny guy with a beard and a ponytail and three Mexicans hanging on the side with ropes and pulleys and scaffolds. Staring straight up, getting orange paint in their eyes and mouth, waiting to catch a screwdriver with their forehead. It was like having a circus in town for a month. Jesus, Ohio got his name when his family was driving up from Oaxaca. His father and mother were illegal. He was illegal, too. Illegal people. His mother was pregnant in labor. They needed to find a hospital right away. Past a woman mowing the front yard of a farm home on a green riding mower, not wearing a top. She had long blonde hair and wore only jean shorts, no shoes. Bright red toenail polish. The father got all the detail because they were going 45 on the highway, not wanting to have anything to do with the county deputies. Woman went over some bumps in the lawn, held on, looked right at the father, and smiled and waved. He recalled that at that particular moment, her hair rose from her shoulders, suspended in midair with waves, like on the American commercials they'd seen from home. Perhaps just what he'd dreamed of when he thought of America. Perhaps miraculous, though he kept that suspicion to himself. When the father saw the blonde woman, he proclaimed, "Dio mio, Ohio!" When a boy was born in the county hospital 20 minutes later, the father wanted to memorialize the vision he'd been given. The mother argued they could not name the son My God, so father agreed on Jesus, tacked on Iowa as a middle name, because that was truly how it had occurred. They wanted to sound as if the young boy was from around here. Father and mother and the nurses had bickered about the comma, Mr. and Mrs. having spent many recent weeks studying English, having the fervor of the nouveau literate. And for 2 days, the name of the young boy was Jesus Ohio Hernandez. On the third day, the comma was dropped. The mother and father opened a restaurant, worked all day every day, bought a home on the west side. Jesus grew strong and happy and played shortstop and quarterback. He was famous, known around town as Jesus Ohio. As the Cleveland Plain Dealer headline on the Sunday sports page after Jesus was named High School Athlete of the Year, and it's only his junior year. Well, he planned to attend Ohio State, study architecture, build tall buildings in Columbus and San Francisco and Mexico City, and be the first Hispanic quarterback ever, and the first Hispanic Ohioan elected to the United States House of Representatives. His room was packed with the biography of Frank Lloyd Wright and other great American designers. Thomas U. Walter at the U.S. Capitol Building. James Hoban's White House. Henry Bacon in the Lincoln Memorial. Robert Mills in the Washington Memorial. Russell Pope's Jefferson Memorial. In the family's photo album, he saw pictures of the modest hovels of Oaxaca and compared them to the homes he saw in America. His father and mother were able to move the family to a house on Madison Street in Jesus spent hours sitting out on the front porch watching people go past and waving and smiling, though they often did not respond positively. What he really wanted to do was make houses like those in America for his relatives in Mexico, or bring those relatives up here to those and to live in nice places, or maybe play shortstop for the New York Yankees. Each day his dreams and plans were different, bigger, larger, more grand and beautiful. The high school did not offer architecture classes, but Mr. Molini, the shop teacher, gave Jesus books on construction, bricklaying, carpentry, steel beam structures, the building of the Hoover Dam and the World Trade Center, Yankee Stadium, the St. Louis Arch. Jesus Ohio stopped going to classes after the first week of his senior year. Mrs. Lankford, the history teacher, pulled a television into the room on September 11, 2001, so her classes could see the continuing coverage. Jesus sat in the front desk of the second row from the door, watched CNN all morning. He watched through his class, skipped biology and geometry, too, to watch more. He got up when Lankford locked a room for lunch. Jesus got his jacket from his locker, walked through the cafeteria without talking to anyone, went out the front door with the rest of the privileged open campus seniors, and never came back. He sent a letter to the editor of the paper from somewhere. The editor wouldn't print it, is what I heard, said it didn't have a local address. And that's the news from Moon Rock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. No hidden black military budget, no UFO files Americans cannot see, no JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes, no destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police, no evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That is our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about all this long war and debacle to trial, put them on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon, so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings, the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now, we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. They all know that. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know that Donald Trump knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He is complicit. He has lied. He has continued the wars everywhere based on a lie. He knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden buried at sea. Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there's a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into the hole. And no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered. No plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters, which said, "Are you afraid?" They were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie, the killer's in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. Thank you for joining us tonight. The New American Dream Radio Show broadcast live on, we stream live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thank you, Chuck, for all the work you did to put the show together, all the interviews, all the technical stuff. And thanks to our guests, M.K. Davis, Larry Pinkney, Anthony Rayson, Phil Fruzio, and Frank Cordero. See you all next week.
Listen, people, to a story that was written long ago about a kingdom on a mountain and the valley folk below. On the mountain was a treasure buried deep beneath a stone, and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, do it in the name of heaven, justify it in the end. There won't be any trumpets blowing come the judgment day. I'm pretty warning after. What?
For tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we are listener-sponsored and commercial-free, but there still are bills to pay. In order to raise some needed funds to cover the cost, our station is offering a silver special. In the continental United States for a $60 donation, or in Alaska, Hawaii, or Canada for a $70 donation, we will send you an uncirculated 2018 one-ounce pure silver eagle. The $70 donation, the extra 10 is to cover shipping, by the way, outside of the continental United States. When making the donation, you must put Silver Eagle promo in the notes on the donation. And thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at revolution.radio and freedomslips.com. Without you, there is no less. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You talk-
Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests,